The story fascinated James. He suspected that it might make the basis for a good novel. "Certainly," he wrote in his journal, "there is a little subject there, the picture of the two faded, queer, poor, and discredited old English women, living on into a strange generation in their musty corner of a foreign town with these illustrious letters their most precious possession. Then the plot of the Shelley fanatic, his watchings and waitings." In fictionalizing the story, James moved it to Venice in order to, as he put it, cover my tracks, and at the same time take advantage of the city's aura of mystery and its sense of a lingering past. He also altered the characters, creating an American Byron, Jeffrey Aspern, and an American Claire Claremont, Juliana Bordereau. The covetous Captain Silsby became the nameless narrator of the Aspern papers, an American publisher who worships the long-dead Jeffrey Aspern and comes to Venice hoping to gain possession of Aspern's love letters. In James's version, the narrator goes to see Juliana Bordereau in her run-down palace in an out-of-the-way corner of Venice and asks to rent rooms on the pretext that he has a passion for flowers and must live near a garden. But, gardens being a rarity in Venice, he would, if he lived in the house, hire a gardener, restore the weed-choked rear courtyard, and fill the house with flowers. The old lady agrees. He moves in, restores the garden, supplies the women with bunches of fresh flowers, and even takes the younger Miss Bordereau out for a chaste evening in St. Mark's Square. Upon the old woman's death, he asks the niece for her aunt's letters, and she replies nervously that perhaps if he were a relation, he might have them. Stunned, he rejects her offer. But the next morning, he tells her he has had a change of heart. He is ready to accept. But it is too late. She, too, has had a change of heart. "I've done the great thing," she says. "I've destroyed the papers. I burnt them last night, one by one, in the kitchen. It took a long time. There were so many." More novella than novel, The Aspern Papers is a psychological thriller, a fraction the length of The Wings of the Dove, and far more readable. As different as the two stories are, they share at least one important theme, the feigning of love as a means of gaining something of value. In The Wings of the Dove, the prize is money. In The Aspern Papers, it is the letters of a famous poet. The Aspern Papers had long been a favorite of mine, and on an earlier visit to Venice, I had walked over to Rio Marine to have a look at Palazzo Capello, the faded pink palace that James had used as his model for Juliana Bordereau's crumbling abode. The building was forlorn and unoccupied. It also appeared to have been looted. From what I could see through a grimy window pane, the interior had been stripped of mantelpieces and cornices. As I was peering inside, a door in the garden wall opened, and a dour-faced woman came out. I asked if I might have a look at the garden. "Giardino privato," she said, closing the door abruptly, and walking away down the canal.